We'll be reading out of Mark chapter 12, verses 38 through 44. As he taught, he said, "Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces, and to have the best seats in the synagogues and places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses, and for the sake of appearance say long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." He sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into it. And many rich people put in large sums. And a poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which are worth a penny. Then he called his disciples and said to them, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For all they have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." This is the word of God for the people of God. You might be seated. So there's a lot of large numbers that we could talk about today. Today is the 100th anniversary of the end of World War I. Just yesterday marked the 29th anniversary of the fall of the Berlin Wall. But if we think about World War I, the war that was to end all other wars, that of all the veterans that came out of World War I, they've all passed on. They're all gone. And yet there's been generations and generations of more veterans that have come out of a ton of conflict in our nation where it's hard to remember a time where we've not been active across the globe. Even today, our military is present in over 150 countries across the world. There's somewhere over 20 million active veterans, or veterans that are still alive in the United States. And out of those 20 million, there's 2.1 million who are still serving either on active duty or in one of the reserve components. 2.1 million. And yet, when we look at all those numbers, we remember individual faces and individual stories. One kind of stuck out to me this week as I was reading about different veterans. The oldest veteran, the oldest living veteran in the United States, is 112 years old. Lives in Austin, Texas. His name's Richard Overton. He was a marksman in a segregated marksman unit serving in the South Pacific during World War II. And the stories that he's had to tell, kind of over the years, kind of blend together with the stories that have come out of other wars and other conflicts, from Korea to Vietnam to the Gulf War to the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan and the numerous other conflicts that we found ourselves in over the years. And yet it's still these single, smaller stories that can teach us so much. One thing that I've learned kind of growing up in the military, and especially over the last couple weeks talking to a lot of different veterans at different events that I've gone to, is veterans have a unique way of seeing the big picture, but also realizing the powerful small moments that come in our lives as well. If you go to a veterans event and you have an opportunity for veterans to come and to kind of share, you know, how long they were in the service or where they served, you get a big picture. You know, whether they served for 30 years or whether they served during World War II or during Korea or Vietnam, the Gulf War, or the wars in Afghanistan or Iraq, they sum up their careers very quickly in a big picture. But if you sit down with them, if you have a chance to tell a story, to listen to them, you find out that their careers and their experiences are more than just the wars. But it often comes down to the war stories, the small moments, singular moments that they remember. And even more than that, they realize the value and the impact that those small, tiny moments can change everything in just a single instant. The effect that a quick decision can have in changing the tide of a larger conflict. It really does come down a lot of times to those small moments that add up together. And so I've been thinking this week about a story of small moments with my favorite veteran. I was 7 years old when my dad came back from the Gulf War. And if I remember correctly, he was only gone maybe about 6 or 7 months. But looking back on when I was 7 years old, it felt like he was gone for at least 2 years. And it's really interesting because out of those 6 or 7 months that he was gone, I really don't remember anything else that I did or anything else that was going on. I really don't remember much of what I did when I was 7 years old, except for the day that he came back. I remember that very clearly. And my mother had taken us kind of up on the hill, and she had left us at a friend's house while she went to the airport to pick up my dad and bring him home. And I remember as he got out of the car that afternoon, us running up to him and hugging him. And I remember how much weight he had lost. And I remember that kind of dusty army smell that I've come to love so much in my life. Just kind of breathing that in. And I remember that moment of just us being together as a family again. And we had done everything that we could to kind of prepare for this moment, but not really knowing how it hits you until you finally have it. And I remember we took a huge plywood piece of wood, and we spray painted "Welcome Home." You know, "We missed you, Dad." And we kind of just leaned it up against a big trailer in the backyard so you could see it on the interstate coming home, that he would know before he'd even got there that we were thinking about him. But then what happened after he was home was he told all of us that he wanted us to pack a bag. And the next morning, we all got in the car, and we went as a family up to Lake of the Ozarks in central Missouri. And we spent 2 weeks at Lake of the Ozarks, just being together again. We weren't allowed to watch TV. We had to actually spend time with each other and talk to each other and fight with each other and do all those things that you do when you're shoved into a small space together with people for a long amount of time. And we went fishing, we laid in hammocks, and we drove around, and we went hiking, and we did all the things that you love to do when you go camping. But it's the small moments about that trip that I remember so clearly. I remember my mother caught a catfish. And it was a huge catfish. And every year that we've talked about the catfish that she caught, it just kept getting bigger and bigger. And I remember she got this catfish all the way up to the boat. As my dad went to go kind of dip it out of the water with the net, the catfish flipped and broke the line and swam away. And so after telling the story for about 18 years, that catfish was about the size of the boat as it swam away. And I remember my dad caught a catfish on that trip. And I remember it was a pretty monster-sized catfish as well. And for some reason, he felt like he needed to put the catfish in the bathtub at the cabin. And just as clearly, I remember my mother screaming as she wandered into the bathroom and found a catfish in the bathtub at the cabin. I remember driving around and listening to the music that he put on the radio that he hadn't listened to in quite a while. And I remember just being together and the impact that those small little moments had in letting us be a family again. Those small moments had a lot of power in them. In our scripture reading this morning, we read a story that we don't often or wouldn't usually hear on a Veterans Day. We hear a story of the widow's mite, of Jesus kind of planting himself outside a treasury and just kind of people watching and just kind of looking to see what unfolds. And you start to see these rich individuals, the proud, that will come and they make no small show about what they're bringing to the treasury. And you almost get this image of kind of huge money bags that they would bring in or large amounts of cash that they would throw down and let everybody know these massive, large sacrifices that they're making to the temple and for the people. But in between these kind of rich and kind of arrogant people, Jesus began to notice a smaller woman. And I kind of see in my head just kind of this idea of her shuffling between all these larger, more put together characters as she gets close enough to the box to take two small coins and to drop them in. So insignificant, it probably made no little noise or distraction at all. And it would have gone as insignificant, and it would have gone as fairly unremarkable, except that Jesus noticed it and brought attention to it and called his disciples to come and to learn a lesson. And as he gathered them together, he taught them of the power of a small moment, of a small sacrifice, and how even the smallest sacrifices we can make in this life have tremendous impact in this world and on others. And so much so that of any other gift that is given to the treasury in the Bible, it's the gift of two small copper coins that we continue to talk about and remember. Given by a woman that we don't even remember her name or where she came from, simply that she saw out of faith that she had an opportunity to give something. And Jesus saw an opportunity to remind us that God can do something incredible through those small moments and those small sacrifices. One of the things that we've learned from veterans over the years of what it looks like to make sacrifices. And those sacrifices look different for each and every person who served, and those sacrifices look different for each and every person who has lived with them and has been in their families or has known them as friends. But the truth of the matter is each and every one of us is walking through a battle or a struggle, and each and every one of us is walking through a life in which sacrifices have to be made. And sometimes we get caught up in the big numbers and the large picture, and we sort of think that we have these large grand movements that we have to make, or these grand gestures or these grand gifts, to suddenly try to make sense of these battles that we're walking through, to suddenly try to make sense of this world that we're caught up in. But the truth of the matter is that no grand gesture or no grand move in our life is ever going to help us beat some of these things that we're fighting against. But we can't forget how powerful the small moments are, the small sacrifices, those small turns, those small conversations, those small touches, those small reminders of reaching out to others and reminding them that there is still a small bit of hope and life in this world, and yet God takes those small moments and does something incredible with them. What I remember so much of my dad's service is him coming home. And of the one thing that he needed more than anything else was to be with his family and to remember in some small way what it was that he was even doing in signing up to go across to the other side of the world. And coming to simply want to be a family again. And of all those things that we did on that trip and of all the things that we talked about, it's the small moments that we continue to remember and talk about and laugh about. Because it was in those smallest moments that we felt loved, that we felt appreciated, that we felt like we were a family again. And it's the small moments in life that we take in the opportunities with other people, whether in our workplaces, whether in our families, whether here at church or in the community, those small opportunities that we take to remind other people that they are loved and noticed and appreciated. That we take to lift somebody up, that we take to encourage somebody and show a small bit of joy and love and life and compassion in this world. And you see that it's in the small moments that God can make some tremendous, tremendous moves in this world. If we start with caring, and we start with what's right in front of us, and the opportunities that God continues to lay in front of us, we can start to see our families, our communities, our nation and the world begin to be transformed in a way that we could never imagine. And it really can be that simple, to see the small moments and to show the love of God and to see what He can do. As the band starts to come forward this morning, we have an opportunity to think about all that God has done in our lives. And I'm sure that it comes down to single moments that we think about when God shows up, when God moves and God continues to exercise His will and His life to show us. And those small moments that we find ourselves with friends and family members, so small moments of reminding them what that life and what that joy can look like. We have an opportunity to see what God can do. Will you bow your heads with me as we pray this morning? Almighty and precious God, we do give you thanks. Lord, we give you thanks for the way that your life is born into this world. But Lord, even through the smallest moment of you coming down for us, Lord, you have changed the entire shape of creation. Allow us to show up in the small ways in people's lives, Lord, through small sacrifices, through small moments, Lord, through small words, touches, encouragements, that we are reminded that you are with us and that you can help change us life. Lord, you can help change this world. Lord, we have been trying time and time again to make large gestures and large jumps and listening to large pieces of advice that other people have given us. But Lord, there's so much power in the simple things, in the small moments of realizing that you are simply with us, that you are walking alongside us. Lord, help us to recognize the opportunities that lie with us, that we can help lift up others and encourage them. Lord, that we can show signs of your love and your life, that we can show signs of your mercy and your kingdom. And Lord, feel your grace in this world. Allow us to start with caring this week and to see what you can do. As we pray this all in Jesus' name, amen.